Today's shiur is being said as a schus for refuah shleima for shalom ben bracha. Today's shiur is mesecht in the darim daf mem ches. We will begin be'ezer Hashem yizbarach on daf mem zayinam and be'ez at the mishnah. Somebody says to someone else, harei aleinu k'cherim. And as the rishonim point out, we learned earlier in our mesechta, the word k'cherim could either mean k'cherim gvoya by the kabayis, or could mean Cherme Kohanim. And we learned that in Galo, since they did not live where the Kohanim were all there so much, we assume that when he says Cherim, he means Cherim by the Kabayis. And since when he says Cherim by the Kabayis, it's considered a valid nether, he's saying that you should be also to me like Hegdish. So somebody says, Hareini Alecha Cherim. He's saying that you should meet to be cherim, hamuda asur. So then the person who is the subject of the nether is asur to give benefit to the individual who made the nether. But the person who made the nether could benefit the person that he spoke to. Because in the wording of his nether, all that he said in the wording of his nether was that I can't have, that all he gets. All he said was that you can have benefit from me, but I could have benefit from you. Harei at alei cherim. But if somebody said you are to me cherim, then hanoider also. Then I can have benefit from you, but you could have benefit from me. But if the wording was pronounced harei ni alecha, I should be cherim to you va'at alei, and you should be cherim to me. Then the halacha is shnei masurim. The both may not have any benefit from each other. And as the Rosh points out, there's really no chiddush in this din, because if the nether was expressed that we're not allowed to have benefit from each other, so of course that was what the nether was said, that we can't have benefit from each other. And there's not this halacha in itself is not the Chiddush of our Mishnah. The Chiddush of our Mishnah are the next words of the Mishnah. Shnei mutarim b'stavish al bavel. But they're allowed to have benefit from things that are in the town that are oilei bavel. Because things that are considered shel oilei bavel are not considered the ownership of any one individual. And it's not even considered the property of the members of the city that were all partners in the city. Something which belongs to Oilei Bavel, something which is considered Oilei Bavel, the way to understand the Mishnah is to understand that the Oilei Bavel is nobody's property. So there's a number of ways the Rishonim explain this Mishnah. The Rosh and Tosfos explain that when there are where there are objects or things that are in the category of Oilei Bavel, what is self-understood is that we're all of Klal Yisrael, are owners of these objects. And what we've all understood and done for each other is that we've been mafker the property one to the other, which means that we've given up ownership in these properties. And the Rambam, however, in the Pirish Mishnayis, says a different pshat. He says, all of Klal Yisrael are indeed owners in these objects. But says the Rambam, since all of Klal Yisrael are owners of these objects, these different things that we're going to identify, Oilei Bavel, so that means all of us own it. And there are Baruch Hashem many members of Klal Yisrael. So since each person's share, each member's share in these various items is so minimal, it's not considered that we really have ownership. And therefore, Vesurim, it continues the Mishnah, the Devavah Shalai Seir, things that are owned by the city are considered, everybody has a portion of it. So there's a number of explanations why. According to the Rambam, the explanation is because when you're dealing with something that belongs to the city, so it's a much smaller population of people that have ownership in this. When you have a much smaller population of people having ownership, each one of our shares becomes part becomes significant. Another pshat, again, we follow the pshat of the Rosh and Tosfos. Things that belong to all of Klal Yisrael, that's where it's self-understood that we are meichel to each other. But things that we live in the city, that shows that we want to use it. We live here in the city all the time. And therefore, such objects were all partners. The Ran goes a step further. He says, since we see that the halach is that things that are owned by the city are only allowed to be sold by Zayin Tuveir, it can't just be sold. So you see that you need to have the consent of the entire city, or at least the consent of the board of directors. So we see that it really belongs to everybody. So of course, the Chasam Sofer asks the question, even if we accept the opinion of the Rambam, that in a city there's a smaller population than in all of Klal Yisrael, and that's why we're differentiating between a Dovah Shel Oseir and Oilei Bavel, but Baruch Hashem, there are some cities, there are communities that are very large and have many Jews. So even if one person is making a neder, and he does have a shear here, but isn't his shear bottle beroif? And even though, of course, in halacha there's a concept of ein moment bottle beroif, by finances we don't say the concept of bittel beroif, but the focus of our Gemara is not a financial focus. The focus of our sugi is nedarim, which is an iser. So why, asked the Chasam Sofer, should the halacha be that even b'dovah shel oseir, if the neder was made, they can't benefit from it? So the Chasam Sofer answers that we never rely on bittel where we don't need to rely on bittel. So he says that when we speak about bittel, by neder, we could be matan neder, or we could try not to use it. So to rely on bittel and then say that's why we should be concerned about the neder, that's not acceptable. Another pshat that the Beis Halevi suggests, when somebody is using something from the town, so that object that's used from the town, if you're using something that belongs to the town, you're using the svarm of the town, so you're using that whole sefer. In other words, the Beis Halevi seems to understand that part of the concept of bittel beroiv is that since most of what I have here is mutter, the way I understand the Beis Halevi is if you have a pot of chicken soup and a drop of milk falls in and it's bottle, you're not eating the entire soup at the same time. And Roiv tells us that what you're eating is not from the, you're not eating the milk, you're eating the chicken. And therefore, you don't have a problem that you're eating basar b'chalav. But if you have a sefer that's owned by that town, and you're using the sefer, and you're using the entire sefer at one time, when you're using the entire sefer at one time, what you're really doing, explains the Beis Halevi, is using that entire sefer. And who owns that sefer? All of the people of the town. When we speak about all of the people of the town owning the sefer, if part of the ownership, albeit a minimal part of the ownership, is somebody who you may not benefit from, it turns out that you're benefiting from something that you're not allowed to benefit. But now our Gemara has introduced a new distinction. The Mishnah introduced a new distinction, something that's owned by Oilei Bavel versus something that's owned by the town. And there's a famous question when we speak in halacha about a corporation. We know that the legal definition of a corporation means that there's limited liability. The corporation is considered a new entity, and that entity has assets, and that entity can lend money, that entity can borrow money. We know in an halacha that whenever somebody, we spoke about this very extensively when we learned Masechta Ksubos, whenever somebody borrows money, for example, there are two types of shibudim. There's shibud haguf, that I become personally responsible to pay back what I borrowed, and there's shibud nechasim, that all my assets become responsible to pay back, are mortgaged to that debt. The question that came up many years ago was the first individual who created a corporation with somebody whose name was Aaron Salmon in Great Britain. And he was an individual who saw that his business, his financial situation was shaky, and he knew that he's borrowing money and he's going to have responsibilities, which he did not want to have. And he therefore created a new legal entity. His business was created as a separate legal entity, of which he owned 100% of the shares. And eventually, that entity went bankrupt. And the question was, certainly, all of the assets of that entity were obligated to the loan. But the question was he personally liable to that loan? Well, we discussed a moment ago that every time somebody borrows money, besides that, all of his assets become mortgaged to the debt. He becomes personally mortgaged to the debt, which is Shibud HaGuf. Is there a Shibud HaGuf? Could you make a new legal entity? Actually, the Gemara Masechta Gittin speaks about an apaitim ki mefayrish. Apaitim ki mefayrish means that if you borrowed money, but you designated that the only place from where you could, where the malva could collect the debt from is from a certain identified assets and from nowhere else, the halacha is that such a transaction is mutter. So the question now is, how do we look at this new entity? Do we look at this, does the halacha consider this a new entity or not? It will be most relevant, for example, for Hilchus Ribbis. The halacha is that somebody is not allowed to lend money or borrow money with interest, but that's a person, an individual. What would be halacha about a bank? If a bank is incorporated as a separate entity, do we look at the shareholders of the bank? And if the shareholders of the bank are Jewish, that bank may not lend money unless they have a heteriska with interest. Or do we look at the bank as a new entity that doesn't have really any ownership? And this halacha is relevant to many places. They want, those that want to suggest that our Mishnah that differentiates between Oile Bovel assets and the assets of Mamon Bnei Eir is saying exactly that difference. The Mamon of the Bnei Eir are considered partnership. There's a difference, of course, in halacha and in secular law between a partnership and a corporation. If people join together as partners, is that each of the partners is personally responsible. Of course, his responsibility is equal to the percentage of ownership that he has in that business, but he's personally responsible. If you have many people who are shareholders in a corporation, they don't have any personal liability according to secular law. Their liability is on the corporation, and they could lose or profit as equal to the percentage of what they have in the business. And so therefore, our Mishnah, we gave different explanations from the Rishonim. How do they differentiate between Mammon of Shalosh Seir versus Oile Bovel? Could be, and this would be a very interesting precedent, that the difference really is that Oile Bovel is a corporation and Shalosh Seir is a partnership. So identifies the Gemara, the Mishnah. Veizah Davashel Oile Bovel. What is considered Oile Bovel? Kigon Harabayis, Vazoros, the Harabayis, and Vazoros, the Harabayis, Vabor, Shehetzer Derech. The Gemara often in Shas speaks about that they would make water holes, water pits, for the people who are being Oile Regal to have water to drink and to feed their animals. Veizah Davashel Oile Seir. What is considered they had the town square, Vamerchatz, the bathhouse of the city, the Beis HaKnesses of the city, Vateva, the bima on which they put the Sefer Torah when they read from the Sefer Torah, Vasfarim, the Sefer Torah that belonged to the shul. All of these are considered things that belong to the particular belong to the town with the halachas that we mentioned before. The Beis Yosef in Yerudei is Sim Resh Chaf Dalid. quotes the Archas Chaim that says that even though we're saying that the Svarma are considered Shaloi Sa'ir, that they belong to the city, and we're also learning in our Shir that if somebody made a neder on somebody else in the town, that he can't benefit from him, and if he's a member of the town, he would not be allowed to use Dovah Shaloi Sa'ir, says the Torah that he would be still allowed to learn from the Svarim, because learning from the Svarim is a mitzvah, and mitzvah lav lehenes nitnu. And he quotes that that too is the opinion of the Rajba. And in fact, if we look in the Shalos Tshuvos of Rajba, Chelek Aleph Simen Tuf Tuf Kuf Lamed Hey, he takes out from our Mishnah the word Svarim. Other Rishonim, however, make a very interesting distinction. And they say that even though we know and we've mentioned that concept many times in our Masechta, Mitzvah Lav Lehenes Nitnu, but they point out that here, when even they point out that here it's an entirely different situation. The here, it's Torah is a very different mitzvah. The mitzvah of Torah, enjoying your learning, is an integral part of the mitzvah. And since enjoying your learning is an integral part of your mitzvah, they explain that by learning, even if we say B'kala Torah Kula, Mitzvah Slav Lehenes Nitnu, that would not be a consideration by learning. And in fact, Dagli Tal points out that the mitzvah of learning, as we say every day when we say Brichas HaTorah, we say V'arevna. V'arevna means that we enjoy our learning. There's a very interesting story that happened between the Panovich Rav and Rabbi Chanan Wasserman Zatzal. They were learning, and they came up with a subject, that they came up with an issue in their learning that they wanted to look it up in a sefer that's not easily found. So they knew that the Chofetz Chaim had quoted that sefer in his Mishnah Brura. So he assumed that the Chofetz Chaim had that sefer. So they came to the Chofetz Chaim, they said, since we saw that you quoted the Sefer, we're assuming that you have that Sefer. Can we please borrow the Sefer to look it up? He says, the Chofetz Chaim said, I never had the Sefer. So they asked him, where were you able to quote from that Sefer if you didn't have the Sefer? So he says that he borrowed it. There was a person, his name was Rav Yaakov Brody Zatzal, who lived in Warsaw, who had a very big library of Sfarim, and I borrowed it from him. And then the Chofetz Chaim answered that I don't have many, continued, and he said, I don't have many Sfarim. And I said, I never regretted not having a Sefer. In fact, the thing that I have to be concerned about the Sfarim I do have. He says, why? He says, obviously, buying Sfarim costs money. And money is equal, said the Chofetz Chaim, to time. Because a person, there's nothing more valuable, there's no more valuable asset that a person owns more than time. And if I need to earn money to be able to buy Sfarim, I'm giving up my most valuable asset, my life, time, in which I could be learning Torah, I could be doing mitzvahs to earn money to buy a sefer. So the Sefer Chashuki Chemet asks that we know the Torah says, the Pasuk says, V'ata kislochem as a shira azois, from which we learn there's a mitzvah to write a Sefer Torah. But the Rosh says that one fulfills the mitzvah of owning, writing a Sefer Torah b'zman hazeh, that we write down Torah Shebapeh, with buying and lending Sfarim. So we see from here that there is a point to owning Sfarim. How do we understand, he says, what the Chofetz Chaim said, that he's not interested in having Sfarim? So the Chashuki Chemet says, everything has to be judged according to the circumstances. He says, if somebody's buying a Sefer, which he's going to learn from, and not only is a Sefer that he's going to learn from, but it's a Sefer that it's not easily found, and he's going to learn from the Sefer, it's not easily found, and he's going to gain from that learning. That's the kind of Sefer that somebody should buy, even though it costs money, and the Chofetz Chaim's explanation about money equal time. But if it's a Sefer which you're not going to really learn from, or it's a sefer that you could easily find in a shul or a library. There, says the Chizuki Chemed, there is no point in buying a sefer where you could be, where that would use up your money, your time, where you could use that time for learning. Says the Mishnah, Kosev Chelka L'Nasi. But now the Mishnah says, let's say somebody has this issue. There's a nether that prevents me from being able to benefit from something. So if somebody writes over his portion in it to the own, to the king of the town, then it's not his anymore, and we don't have this problem. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, and the Rishonim point out that even though the Mishnah says Rabbi Yehuda Omer, there's no machlokes here. Everything we're learning in the Mishnah, the various halacha, is agreed by everybody. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Echra Kaisel Anasi, Vak Kaisel Hedjet. It doesn't have to be written specifically to the king. If it was written over to someone else, this would work. Ma Bein, HaKaisel Anasi, LaKaisel Hedjet. So what is the halachic difference? The halachic difference is, HaKaisel Anasi, Ain Tzarech L'Zakus. Normally, if I want to transfer ownership to someone else, do I have to have an act of kinyan? But when I'm writing it over to the king, there's no need for a kinyan. And the Ran explains that is the authority of the king, koyach hanasi, that when you're transferring something to him, you don't need a kinyan. The Rush explains that it's a special takana that Chazal made in honor of the king, that even though normally when two people do a transaction, in order for the transaction to be considered valid, you have to have a kinyan, they made, as far as the king is concerned, that there's no reason for no need for a kinyan. And the Rush explains, how does that work? He says, because there's a concept of hefker bezdin hefker. And what hefker bezdin hefker says is that it's hefker. If it's hefker, when the nasi is getting it, he's getting it straight from hefker, no need for a kinyan. So again, hakaisel nasi ain't tzarech lazakas loy, whereas halahedjit tzarech lazakas. Whether it's a hedjit or where it's a nasi, tzrichen lazakas, there's always a need for a kinyan. A kinyan is required in all areas of halacha. So why, says the Gemara, that we've been speaking about a nasi, the Ran explains, when we're talking about people, so people may not give it over, be comfortable in giving something over to another person. People are, however, more comfortable giving things over to the nasi. So again, we have here a machlokes. If when you give it to the nasi, is the need for kinyan? Tanakh, Rabbi Yehuda says not. And Rabbi Yehuda says there is. Rabbi Yehuda Omer ain't actually called tzrichen lechtoiv. They don't even have to go through this procedure of writing it to the nasi. Shekvah kosav esem al yadayim. That they already did this. The previous generation already made up that everything that belongs to the city belongs to the nasi. So Taisus asks, we discussed earlier in our Masechta, we will speak about it again, where two people are not allowed to benefit from each other, and now one needs to benefit from each other, how different solutions, how to deal with such a situation. Ask Tysus, why didn't the Mishnah, when we had that discussion in the Daf Mem Hei, just say that they wrote it over to the Nasi? So Tysus answers, when we're speaking about things that belong to the town, which are really not my private things anyway, it makes sense that I will write it over to the Nasi. Whereas, there we were speaking about my private chatzar. It's highly unlikely that I'm going to write my private chatzar over to the Nasi, because that means I'm giving up ownership of my house. That's why the Gemara had to look for different solutions. So the Mishnah began, Beza Dovah Shaloi Seir, Chavar Mechetz, etc. And then the Mishnah said that the Nasi, and then you can write it over to the Nasi. Ask the Gemara, my mitzvah, but why is it also when it was written over to the Nasi? Says the Gemara, as we understood the Mishnah. The Mishnah is not coming to tell us why it's Osir. On the contrary, Amar Rav Sheshes, this is what the Mishnah means to say. Hochiktani, matakantam. If we have two people in a city that are not allowed to have hanoh from each other, what is not allowed to have enough from the other. How can we come up with a solution that they should be able to go to the shul, they would be able to write over, daven in the shul, use the Sefer Torah? The solution is, yichtavu chelkom l'nasi, as we just discussed, get right over their assets to the nasi, which would be a way of solving this problem. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, ein anshe gold tzurich lezakos shekva kosva avaseim al yedeim. Tan Rabbi Yehuda Omer, anshe gold kantronen hayu. So he explains what is the reason for this. It was very common the people in Gaul would get into quarrels with each other. And because of the result of this quarrel, they would then issue these nedarim. And now they had this problem. So says the Gemara, explaining the Mishnah, in a way to avoid this problem of the Vaseim, their forefathers got up, and Kosvo Chalkeim, Lanasi, they wrote over all of their shears in the Dvarim Shloi Seir to the Nasi to solve the issue, as we just learned in the Mishnah, that this is a solution. Says the Mishnah, if somebody made a nether that somebody else can't benefit from him, and that person now has nothing to eat, so what can I do to help him? Says the Mishnah, I should give it to somebody else as a gift, and like that, this person will be able to eat from it. And the Rosh asked that we already learned this then before, about the two people who have a nether and are walking together and one doesn't have what to eat. Why was it repeated here? Says the Rosh, the Chiddush of our Mishnah is that if we would have learned that Mishnah, and we would have said it's only in the case that was described in that Mishnah, where the two people were walking together and they don't have, and one of them doesn't have what to eat, and we need to come up with a solution. Here, we're not talking about they're on the road, and therefore we would think that this solution is not acceptable. Tells us the Gemara that even under these tells us the Mishnah that even under these circumstances, this is an acceptable solution. And says the Mishnah, Masa Echad Beis Charon. There was an individual who lived in Beis Charon. Shoye Oviv Noide Mena Hanoah. That a father made a nether that he won't have any benefit from his son. Vahayu Messias Benoy. And the son was marrying off his son. And he wanted his father to be able to come to the wedding. Amal Chaveroi. So this person, the son, said to his friend, Chotzer Asuda Nesunim Hinan Lefanecha. I'm giving you over the entire place where the wedding was taking place. He obviously, the wedding was taking place, and his property, the meal, and he said, I'm giving it all to you. Ella, and he said, the reason I'm doing it, in order that my father should be able to join us at the wedding. Amar, so the friend who was given this gift, said, if they're really mine, I'm being magdish everything to Shemayim. Amaloi, so the person, the son, declared, Nosati l'chashli, that I give you all of this, the hall and the meal, shetikdishim l'shamayim, that wasn't what I was trying to accomplish. Amaloi, so the person who, the friend who received it, Nosati l'shalcha, the reason you did this was el sha'at tayat avicha oichem v'shaisim, that you and your father should be able to join together in this wedding meal. U'misratzen zelzeh, and even though obviously there was a very weak relationship between the father and the father had made a net that they won't benefit from the son, and this will be an opportunity for you to make up. V'ye'ov and tali b'roshi, and I, who was magdashit, was really get the sin, because it wasn't everything that was done here was insincere. Armu chachamim, at that point the chachamim said, kom matanish eina, any matana that is not going to fit the test, shibagdisha, that if you're going to be magdashit, it will be completely mekudesh. That's to the degree that you received it. Eina matana. It's not considered a valid matana. So the Rishonim ask an obvious question. We know, and this is done often, on Sukkos, if the halacha is that you have to own your own dalamenim. But let's say somebody doesn't have his own dalaminim, so he gives his dalaminim to somebody takes the dalaminim from somebody else who does that dalaminim, and he receives it, as we often know, a matanam nas lahachzer. He's receiving it as a gift, but he has to return it. Now, obviously, if I receive it as a matana manas lahachser, I can't be magdishit. I have to return it. And if that's the case, we just learned in our Mishnah that the test, if something is or isn't considered a matana, is in mind to the degree that I can be magdishit. So a matana, something that I receive as a matana manas lahachser, I certainly can't be magdish. So if I certainly can't be magdishit, why is it considered a valid gift that I can be yoytz the mitzvah of dalaminim of lachem, lakachtam lachem, if I can't be magdishit? Taisus asked this question, and Taisus answers that a matanam nas lahachser, let's say I give it to you as a matanam nas lahachser, and I give it to you for an hour as a matanam nas lahachser. During that 1 hour that you have it, you could be magdishit. Whereas in the case of our Mishnah, you couldn't be magdishit at all. That's Taisus' first teretz. The second teretz that says that what it means is that the reason why in our Mishnah, this Abeis Charon, it wasn't Matana, because he showed that his giving of a gift was insincere. Because as soon as the person was got it and he wanted to be magdishit, the son immediately said, well, that wasn't my intention, and I certainly did not have any intention to give it to you that you should be magdishit. So that showed that his whole giving of the gift was totally insincere. But in a case where I give it to somebody, and he taka won't be able to be magdishit, he won't be able to be magdishit because I want it back. I want an amatana manas lahachser. But that doesn't mean that when I gave it to him, I did not mean that it should be a sincere gift. I very much meant to give it to him in the most sincere fashion. That's why there's a difference, and that he should be able to be yoytze with these dalminim, the mitzvah of v'kachtam lachem, properly. That's why it's very different. The Chasam Sofer looks at it somewhat differently. He says, a matanam nas lahachser means that I'm giving it to you completely. I'm just also attaching a condition that you have to return it. But that doesn't weaken and doesn't limit my matana to you. Whereas when I give it to you, where in the case of our Mishnah, I never gave it to you that it should be completely yours. Since I never gave it to you in a way that it should be completely yours, that's why it's not considered a valid gift. Says the Gemara, Maisa Lister. So now, ask the Gemara, usually when a Mishnah tells us a halacha, and then it tells us a story, the point of the story is to support the halacha. In our Mishnah, it's just the opposite. The Mishnah says you could give it as a gift, and then the Mishnah says that we have this issue of the matana by the wedding of the Beis Charon. How do we understand the posh pshat of the Mishnah? Answers the Gemara, this is the way to understand the Mishnah. If you gave it as a gift, and it's obvious that it wasn't a sincere gift, then usher, the solution that the Mishnah offered wouldn't work. And says the Gemara, as a proof to that, or mas nami beis charon be'echad, the entire story, that was sofer machicha tchilosoi, that there was a story that was clear that the gift was not sincere, and that's why it's not going to be considered valid. However, the Rishonim point out, the reason it's a problem in the story of mas beis charon is because it became quite clear that he was not sincere in the way he gave a gift. But let's say we don't know. We just don't know, was he sincere or was he not sincere? There the Rishonim say, if we don't have a reason to believe that he was insincere in the giving of the gift, the halacha would be that we could be lenient and assume that when he gave the gift, he was sincere in what he did, and it's not going to be a problem. Says the Gemara, Amar Rava, this that we just learned in the Mishnah, that when you gave the story based Charon, that gift was not a solution. The only time it's a problem is when the son gave it and he said explicitly, I'm giving you this gift in order that we should be able to create a situation where my father should be able to show up to the wedding. Aval Omalei, if he said to him, even though he said that he was doing this in order his father should come, but he did not make that a condition in what he was doing, then he said, this is yours. If he then goes and does whatever he does, that's not an issue. But then, says the Gemara, Lushan Achra Minalei, there's a different version. Only if he was explicit in saying that I'm giving to you on condition that my father should be able to come to the wedding, who does sir? But if he said it in a way, that he did not make that a condition in the gift, it would be mutter. Says this version, no. Even if he just said, I'm giving it to you, and obviously, why am I doing this? Because I want my father to be able to come to the wedding. Osir. That's still going to be osir. Because my tama, sudasim chachsalav. It becomes very clear that that was my intention in giving the gift. And since that was my intention to giving the gift, so it's not a sincere gift, and it's only here to beat to avoid the halacha, and it won't work. Says the Gemara, Ha'u gavra d'havalei bara. There's a person who had a son that was shamed to keep the kitna, that he was stealing from his father linen. They were in the linen business, and the son was acting in a very inappropriate manner. He was stealing linen from the business. Asrina l'nechse'elei. And he went and he said that my son could never have any benefit from me. And what he also said was that my son, even after I pass away, he disowned the son. Amalei. So people said to the father, we have a bear barach tzumar abanan. Maybe you have this issue with your son. But what happens if you end up that this son has a very fine son? Your grandson is a tamat chachem. We have a bear barach tzumar abanan mai. Do you want that your grandson should not be able to have a share from your assets? Amalei likne hadein. He said, then he reversed himself. This son who I don't get along with should have a share. He have a barberei. If he will have a son, meaning my grandson, if I will have a grandson that will be a tamat chacham, likne, that he should get that share. And the way to learn the Gemara, this grandson was not yet in the world. Other Rishonim say that he might have been in the world, but he wasn't yet a Talmid Chacham. He was a young boy, and we don't know what's going to be. Mai, what is going to be the halach in this situation? Amri Pumbedisa, says Pumbedisa, this is a situation where somebody did a kinyan, kni amanas lahaknasu, where he did a kinyan with the intention that somebody else should buy it from the person who's getting it from me. And he says, whenever you do this type of a kinyan, it's like kani, it's not considered a kinyan. So the Rishonim explain, even though we have a concept in Shas of Zochan La'adam Shloi Bafanov, that's only in a case where the person who I want to get this asset is not here, so I get it for him. But here, particularly if he's not here, or I want that this should not happen at this time, that's not considered a valid kinyan. Rav Nachman says it is. And what's Rav Nachman's raya? One of the most common types of kinyanim we know is a sudra. What happens by a sudra? The person who's buying something gives his handkerchief to the or whatever handkerchief, pen, yarmulke to the person who's selling something, and by doing that, he becomes the owner of whatever is being sold here. Now, whenever that's done, the person who's giving his handkerchief doesn't, the buyer gives his handkerchief to the seller. Now, the seller doesn't keep the handkerchief. He gives back the handkerchief because the entire purpose of this kinyan suder is just to affect the kinyan. But the handkerchief, or the suder, is not what's being sold. So it's kni Amanas lahaknas, because he's going to get it back. He's not getting anything in the suder. The seller is not getting the suder, and yet we see it's a valid kinyan. Amar Rav Ashi, or man lemon on the sudra, itavus le matris. This is the common method, points out Ravashi, that when you do a kinyan suder, the buyer gives the seller his suder, and then the seller gives him back the suder. But does that mean that that's the way it has to be? Maybe the seller, if he wants, can keep the suda. Void sudra kaneya manas lahaknis, he has to give it back. Kanima hashta. The kinyan is not a kinyan that's going to happen at a later time. The kinyan happens now. It may not be the suda that's being sold, but what the kinyan is supposed to affect, the transfer of an asset, is happening at this moment. Halein nechsed adein. Now, when we speak about the story here with the son, the grandson, leim sukanei, when will the kinyan be effective? Not now when the kinyan is taking place. It's only going to be effective later, l'chi hava ba'bereit sum rabbanan, when the grandson will be born, or the grandson becomes a talmid chacham. And that, at that point, l'chehav ba'bereit sum rabbanan, l'chehav ha'hodah sudra l'mari. And at that point, the kinyan has expired. It's like this handkerchief that went back to the kainam. Amalei Rav Rav Nachman, for matanis be'scharin, the kumni amnas laknasu. Let's understand the story of our Mishnah, where somebody gave him the son gave his friend the gift of the wedding hall and the meal, in order that he should be able to invite the father. And loika kani, zimeloi. So he says, it's not, the issue there wasn't that the kinyan was not a valid kinyan. There, it was a different issue. It was, as we said a few moments ago, Sudasa Mechachsalov, the fact that he was just trying to get away to have his father be able to join the meal, that was the issue. The issue wasn't in the weakness of the kinyan. The issue was that the whole thing was obvious that it was just a charade. The Zin Amalei Reb Elezer, the Amar Filu Vitor, Osu B'mud Hanoah. Even the smallest Hanoah is Osur. And here too, that even though, if we'll hold, that Kani Amanas Lahaknois is to be considered a valid Kenyan, here it's not going to be considered a valid Kenyan. Because just like we find, explains the Gemara is saying, that when we speak about Nedarim, Chazal were very strict, and even Vitor, which is a very small amount of Hanoah, we've been learning through Anna Masechta, is considered Osur, even though it doesn't really represent a very serious benefit. But Chazal were very machmer when it comes to Hilchos Nedarim. That's why here too, even if we'll say that in other areas of Halakha, Kni Amanas Lahaknois is considered a valid Kenyan, here it would not be considered a valid Kenyan. Here it would not be considered a valid Kenyan because of the seriousness of Hilchos Nedarim. Tanan, so Gemara quotes what we learned at the end of our Mishnah, any gift that doesn't pass the test, that if the receiver who received the gift does not have the right to be magdish what he received, but the Mishnah used the word kol. Ask the Gemara, what is kol asuyimai? What is the word kol coming to add? Lav lasuyi, hamilso the shadow bekipi. Isn't that coming to teach us the case that we just learned in our Gemara, where the father made the nether, and it's come to teach us that it's not a valid kinyan? Says the Gemara, loy, that's not what we have to say, what the call of our Mishnah is coming to teach us. Rather, we'll say what the call of the Mishnah is coming to teach us, to say that the second version of what Rava said on the bottom of Amud Aleph is what was meant to teach us. What does that mean? As we learned earlier in our shiur, there were two versions of when is the gift of Beis Charin ineffective in our Mishnah. The first version held only where it's clear that I said it, that I did this whole thing to get my father to the wedding. But where it's not, if that wasn't made as a condition in the gift, that version held that the gift would be considered a good gift, and it would be a good way to avoid the problem of the existing nether. The other version, however, held not like that. The other version held that even if it wasn't made as a condition in the gift, but it's obvious that that is the purpose of the gift, that my father should be able to attend the wedding, that is enough of a reason to disqualify the gift. And that's what the Gemara means to say is the case. That is what the Gemara, that's what the call of our Mishnah is coming to teach us. That even where it wasn't a condition in the gift, but it's obvious that that was the purpose of the gift, it's not going to be considered a valid gift and would not be a legitimate way to avoid the nether. Hanu lacha shutfin, hanu lacha shutfin, hanu lacha shutfin.